Thank you, councillors, ladies and gentlemen, for attending tonight's meeting. Please remain standing for the opening prayer and reconciliation statement, which is item number one on tonight's agenda. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
The reconciliation statement declares that Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants of the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Councillors, please take your seat. Councillors, moving our attention to agenda item number two, apologies and leave of absence.
There are nil this evening, Madam Mayor.
Item number three, changes to the order of business.
No changes.
Item number four, deputations. Deputations.
We have no deputations, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Item number five, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor. I'd like to declare that I have an ongoing conflict arising from an indirect interest in item 12.17, which is the telecommunications tower at Brookside Reserve Vodafone in tonight's council agenda. This falls under section 78E of the Local Government Act 1989, and as it may have an impact on my residential amenity, and as such I have previously advised the CEO in writing in accordance to the section with section 97(2)II of the Local Government Act 1989. I will be removing myself from the chamber at this item, agenda item, and will ask Councillor Cugliari, Deputy Mayor, to take the chair.
Madam Mayor, I also draw to your attention there is a public question on that subject this evening, so if you would like to declare an interest in that at this point also.
Sure. I would like to therefore declare an ongoing conflict of an indirect interest under the question section as well of this item. Councillors, any other conflict of interest?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to declare a conflict on item 19.2 due to a connection with one of the applicants.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Item number six, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. And we have a recommendation here, councillors, that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 2nd of May 2016 and special meeting of council held on the 23rd of May 2016 be confirmed as a true and correct record. Do I have a councillor to move that?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number seven, record of assembly of councillors. We have a recommendation that the record of assembly of councillors dated 9th of May, 16th of May, 23rd of May 2016 attached to this agenda be received and noted. Do I have a councillor to move that?
Madam Mayor, can I move that the record of assembly of councillors dated the 9th of May, 16th of May and 23rd of May 2016 attached to the agenda be received and noted?
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor to second that notice or that recommendation? Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number eight, correspondence inward. 8.1, parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor. We have received one letter from Marlene K. Roos, State Member for Corroy, in which I will summarise. Dear Mr. Tory, Mayor Maidlick and Councillor, in this letter, Mr. Bean, she's talking about a letter from Mr. Bean, who sought the commitment on behalf of Council to urgent planning and delivery of the duplication of the Melton Rail Line. And Marlene, Ms. Kairouz actually further states that the 2016-17 budget by the Andrews Labor government on 26th of April is good news for the City of Melton and its residents and ratepayers. A funding commitment of $518 million will enable the duplication of a 17-kilometre section of a single track from Deer Park West to Melton. In addition to improving reliability of services, this funding allocation will provide an extra two services in both morning and afternoon peaks. Duplication of the track will also assist with future electrification. Importantly, Rockbank Station will be upgraded with platforms extended by 50 metres. A sealed car park will be built on the south side of Rockbank Station. Currently under construction, Caroline Springs Station is scheduled to be completed in 2016 and will include a double-sided platform, car parking, CCTV and other facilities expected of a 21st century railway station. She continues to explain that funding has been allocated to purchase land for the proposed Burnside Primary School as well as for a P-9 school in Truganina East. Public safety has been boosted with $596 million package, which includes 406 sworn police and 52 support staff. Continuing on to health, Western Health's Sunshine and Footscray campuses will receive $61.3 million for urgent infrastructure works. She also mentions other initiatives, including $10 million to expand the Victorian Automotive Transition Plan, $50 million to build community facilities in Melbourne's fastest growing suburbs, including community centres, arts and cultural hubs, parks and playgrounds, $22.2 million to upgrade and improve council and regional library services, and $50 million to build community hubs in growth areas. She further explains that in the 2016-17 budget, it clearly identifies the Western Growth Corridor as a priority for this government. Much is yet to do. However, she is confident that in the future years, we can look forward, continued investment in vital infrastructure for the region, including the electrification of the rail line between Deer Park West and Melton. And Council thanks Ms. Kairouz for her letter and the State Government for their committed funding for the 2016-17 State Budget, particularly for the Melton region. We do have a recommendation here, Councillors. Do I have a Councillor to move the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation of the Parliamentarian and the departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted.
Thank you. Do I have a Councillor to second the recommendation?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 9, petitions and joint letters.
None this evening, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Item number 10, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting. And we have 10.1 petition, reopening of Thrice Lane Kurrinjang to through traffic. And this will be presented by Mr. Voltaire David, Acting Manager, Engineering Services. Thank you, Mr. David.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is in response to a petition tabled at the ordinary meeting of council held on the 4th of April in 2016 regarding the reopening of Thrice Lane and Groming Ride connection to through traffic. Now, this matter had been discussed at previous council meetings over the years. It was discussed back in 1986 at a council meeting where council resolved to close to through traffic the East-West Government Road, now known as Thrice Lane and Groming Ride, and erect barriers, gates, to restrict access to emergency services vehicles as well as specific farming vehicles. At an ordinary meeting in council in 2001, a local area traffic management study of the Kurrinjang area recommended the reopening of the Gloaming Ride Thrice Lane connection, as well as negotiate acquisition of land with the owners of the land north of Goonawarra Road to obtain a road reserve from Goonawarra Road to Kirkton Drive. That never occurred and the area was built out. In 2009, at a council meeting, a petition was tabled to reopen Thrice Lane Gloaming Ride connection. A Section 223 committee was then formed and received submissions regarding this matter, and this committee then recommended to council that Thrice Lane and Gloaming Ride be open to through traffic after the completion of the duplication of Centenary Avenue from Coburn's Road to Palmerston Street, and that was adopted by council. The petition received in March this year raise concerns relating to fire and safety. Council officers contacted emergency services agencies, namely the CFA and Ambulance Victoria, to understand their position regarding the current access arrangements. And I'll just read out their comments verbatim. The CFA's response: it would appear this emergency access point was provided several years ago. While at the time CFA often required such alternative access points into subdivisions, it is less mandatory today. In saying this, the CFA would like to, still like to retain such an emergency access easement with allocated keys to the local Melton Fire Brigade. Ambulance Victoria's response: we have no reason to request removal of the gate. We are able to access the properties in Thrice Lane from Kurrinjang Drive and the properties in Gloaming Road from Coburn's Road. For this reason, as well as the expenditure associated with the upgrade of the existing roads in Thrice Lane and Gloaming Ride, which amounts to approximately $2 million at today's rates, Council officer recommendation to Council is to retain the current access arrangement and that Thrice Lane remain closed to through traffic.
Thank you, Mr. David. Councillors, do I have any councillors who require any further clarification or have any questions in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move an alternative to this recommendation. That one, the council retain the current arrangement that Thrice Lane and Glowing Ride remain closed to through traffic. And two, that council's engineering department undertake a detailed design to ascertain the cost for a report to council.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this alternate notice of motion? Do I have a councillor to second it?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have a councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the alternate notice of motion carried. Councillors, turning our attention to item number 11, public question time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have five public questions this evening, and the first of those questions is from Susan Mangian, or Mangian. Is Miss Mangian in the gallery? Unfortunately, our local law doesn't permit proxies as such, so what will happen is that a written response will be provided in relation to the detail of the question. If you wish, excuse me, alternatively, if following the meeting you wish to discuss it with the officers, we can advise you of what the response would have been. Okay. Second question this evening is from Mr. David O'Connor. And I have been advised that Mr. O'Connor has had to leave and will be unable to attend this evening, so that will again have a written response provided. In fact, Mr. O'Connor has two questions, so they will both be provided with written responses. The next question is from Mr. Alan Fairweather, and Mr. Fairweather is in the gallery. This question reads: Council has had a section of road resurfaced in O'Neill's Road. Why is it rougher than the road that has not been replaced with all its silicon repairs? Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager Planning and Development, will respond.
Thanks for the question, Alan. Just in response to that, I have to provide that the resurfacing was undertaken in the current financial year during January and February, and council staff were responsible for checking the quality of the work, including the roughness of the road that you raised, and the standard was considered adequate. Generally speaking, roughness of a road surface depends on a number of variables, amongst of which are the following four keys, which are the quality of the contractor's workmanship, how well the asphalt was rolled, the air temperature at the time the asphalt was laid, and the thickness of the asphalt layer that was laid. Whilst the resurfaced section of O'Neill's Road does not provide a consistent ride compared to some of the adjoining sections, council staff considered that the standard was adequate and is not significant enough to present a safety issue to drivers. Thank you.
The next question, Madam Mayor, is from Michelle Spatieri. Is Ms. Spatieri in the gallery? Okay, again, a written response will be provided. Madam Mayor, this was the question in relation to the Brookside Tower. So as the question's not being dealt with, there is no need for you to leave the chamber.
Thank you, Mr. Tory.
And that's the end of public questions, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Councillors, moving our attention to agenda item 12.1. Item number 12, presentation of staff reports, with 12.1, authorisation of affixing the common seal of council, which will be presented. Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, can I move a procedural motion that the recommendations attached to the following items be accepted in block? That's 12.1, 12.2, 12.3 and 12.5.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Ramsey has moved that a recommendation be adopted to move the following items in block, and the recommendations be as Council recommendations are in the agenda items, which is 12.1, 12.2, 12.3 and 12.5. Does any councillor have any questions in regards to these items? Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose this notice of motion to move these items in block? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Moving our attention to item 12.4, Digital Business Strategy 2016 to 2019, which will be presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Planning and Development. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening the final report for the Digital Business Strategy 2016 to 2019. The strategy, as expressed, is one of the key deliverables of the Economic Development and Tourism Plan dated 2014 to 2020. The strategy 2016 to 2019 provides the overarching framework, strategic direction and guiding principles for building the capacity of local businesses, a local business community, to take advantage of digital technologies to further develop and enhance their businesses. The Digital Business Strategy is a four-year plan which seeks to build the digital capacity of local businesses through the provision of information, resources, training initiatives and infrastructure. Two key themes emerged through the development of the strategy, the first being a lack of efficient broadband and internet access across the municipality that has a major impact on effective business operations, and secondly, a lack of knowledge and expertise relating to digital technologies, both in how the technology can assist business growth and how it can be introduced and operated. Whilst Council does not play a direct role in the provision of digital infrastructure, Council can support business in the provision of information and resources, as well as advocate to other levels of government regarding digital infrastructure. The plan has been developed with input of over 197 local businesses via a digital census, desktop research, as well as face-to-face consultation with local businesses currently operating in this digital space. An annual review will be conducted of the strategy and its actions to ensure ongoing relevance, and that is, it is reflective of technological advance and the local economy climate. Measurement indicators to gauge the value and effectiveness of the strategy will include the number of businesses participating in digital programs and initiatives, increase in awareness of NBN and how it will support business activity and growth, and increase in the number of businesses using digital technologies. With this in mind, Madam Mayor, I present to Council the recommendation as set out on page 69, and it reads that Council 1, note the background report, and 2, endorse the Digital Business Strategy 2016 to 2019. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Bean, I don't know if this is going to be tongue-in-cheek or not, and I'm trying very hard not to smile, but could this somehow help us position the phone towers and save on the $50,000 furthering the agenda?
Through you, Madam Mayor, to Councillor Ramsey. No, it's not something that's necessarily related to the telco towers.
Okay. Councillors, any other further questions in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this agenda item?
I'd like to move the recommendation and commend the department and staff for what a wonderful work.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor to second this motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Moving along to agenda number 12.6, Positive Charge Program, which will be presented by Ms. Laura Jo Mellon, Manager, City Design, Strategy and Environment. Thank you, Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is for Council to consider subscribing to the Positive Charge programme. Positive Charge is a not-for-profit enterprise that works on behalf of councils to deliver engagement and advisory services to their communities around energy efficiency. It's a unique programme that was established in 2013 by the Moreland Energy Foundation, and it's currently subscribed to by over 17 Victorian councils. The Western Alliance for Greenhouse Action, which Council is part of, comprises of the Western Sub-Region Group of Councils and has identified that residential development contributes to 18% of the Western Region's total emissions, a figure that is expected to rise by 20% to 20% by 2020. In addition, Melton City Council's Greenhouse Action Plan identified the need to reduce Council's impact on the environment as the municipality grows and develops. One way to achieve this outcome and contribute to a reduction in emissions is for Council to take a leadership role in the community by supporting residents to make informed decisions in respect of energy saving and renewable energy opportunities. The Positive Charge programme presents an opportunity for Council to achieve this objective. It has a, excuse me, it's a programme that has different services available depending on Council's goals and actions in the areas of environmental impact and climate change adaptation. It's based on a 12-month subscription with costs dependent on the services that are subscribed to. The report outlines the services that are considered to be of relevance to the City of Melton, and in summary they include the core service, which includes phone and email-based advice for the community, monthly email newsletters for residents who sign up, articles for publication, communication and planning and advice on the programme and promotion, along with a workshop for staff and the community. In addition, the core service the following services are offered to target different needs in the community. The Home Energy Assessment Service, which is a bulk buy service that provides individual home energy assessments to residents. It analyses energy bills, inspects building features and appliances, and includes an interview with the householder. It then provides a final report to the householder and council with recommendations on how they can improve energy efficiency in their home. In addition, the service has a follow-up module that will evaluate the implementation of the recommendations to the householders to see what savings they've made and what emission reductions they've achieved. In addition to that, an additional service that is recommended is the solar bulk buy intensive service. This positive charge includes a procurement process to choose suppliers for solar panels, and they negotiate discount prices on behalf of the council that will be passed on to the residents to ensure that the best product is achieved at the best price. It provides the residents the opportunity to get a quotation for the installation of solar panels from a reliable supplier and also get support and advice from Positive Charge. The report outlines at section 2 options and the cost for each. From an officer's perspective, option 2 is the preferred option as it provides an evaluation of the home energy service module, which will be critical in deciding whether or not to proceed with it after an initial 12-month period if council choose to consider the programme. The subscription does not have funds allocated in the 2016-17 draft budget, and if approved, the subscription fee of $20,750, which is outlined for option 2, would need to be allocated in the 2016-17 budget. The Positive Charge programme presents an opportunity for Council to provide the community with access to cost-effective sustainability services that can help them better manage rising energy costs and also help reduce emissions as we manage growth. It is therefore recommended to Council that Council approves the subscription outlined in Option 2 to the Positive Charge programme for the sum of $20,750, excluding GST, and allocate the funds in the 2016-17 budget with a review after a 12-month period. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Millen. Councillors, do I have anyone with a question? Councillor Ramsey.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. I think this is absolutely brilliant, but my question will be is, if we're going to buy a small package at the moment to just over 20,000, we're obviously going to review it within 12 months or 2 years to see whether we buy more. Are we going to retrospectively go back and have a look at the LEEDS program and the rollout of that and what effect that had, and then at some point be able to sort of weigh up what the benefits of both were and whether we need to almost bite back into the LEADS program at some later date and create some more mentors out there?
Through you, Madam Mayor. So the LEADS program is actually just coming to a close. We're in the process of evaluating that at the moment, and there will be a report coming to Council in due course to demonstrate what the impact of that program has been and potential options for moving forward.
So even... Oh, sorry. Follow-up, if I may, Madam Mayor. So even if we go down this path, there might be still some accessibility to continue with the LEADS program in its current form, maybe bigger or smaller, depending on what the outcomes are found.
Through you, Madam Mayor. So this is, it's probably slightly different from the LEADS program, which is a community engagement program to teach them, to teach the community how to read bills, how to get the right supplier, how to read tariffs, and just educate them more broadly. This actually provides them the opportunity to bulk buy solar panels that they can get installed on their house and also get advice on that side of things.
Sorry, I don't think I was very clear, Madam Mayor. This will go ahead today if the Council deems it, but with the report for the LEADS program coming back to Council, that might still stay in its current form. There might be an opportunity for that to continue.
We'd have to consider that. It was actually from state federal funding, sorry, in terms of the money that was spent in that. So one of the things we would have to look at is any budget allocation that would be required if we were to continue with the programme.
Thank you.
Councillors, any other questions in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move 12.6? Councillor Ramsey.
I'd like to move it and think the benefits of, I'm not too sure of the benefits of the home stuff, because whenever someone comes to my door and asks me for my electric bill, I feel like knocking them out. But the benefits of the solar bulk buys and the other things that are contained within for our residents, especially in the older areas, I think is a real bonus, and anything we can do to create an environmental footprint is something sensational, and that only comes at just over $20,000. So I commend Laura Jo and her team. Well done.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
I'm happy to second the matter, Mayor, and in doing so say that it's a good follow-up to our LEADS programme. Our LEADS programme was well accepted in the community. We've got some really good mileage out of that, and this would be a good follow-up for it.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.7, response to notice of motion 425, strategic telecommunications mobile tower placement. And this will also be presented by Ms. Laura Jo Mellon, Manager, City Design, Strategy and Environment. Thank you, Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report responds to the Notice of Motion 425 from the Ordinary Meeting of Council on the 2nd of May 2016 regarding the development of strategic telecommunications infrastructure placement policy for the City of Melton. The notice of motion carried requested council officers to firstly prepare a report to council outlining the requirements and costs associated in developing a strategic telecommunications mobile tower placement document. Two, to include whether this document would help assist council in becoming more proactive in strengthening council's position by working together with mobile phone companies and where our community would prefer future telecommunication mobile towers to be located, and thirdly, include whether this document would assist Council in strengthening any future planning applications with relevant governing bodies such as VCAT. In response to part one of the Notice of Motion, Council officers have prepared a draft consultant's brief contained at Appendix 1, which outlines the requirements and costs associated with developing a policy for the future placement of telecommunications infrastructure. It is considered that to provide the required policy direction and guidance, that it is important to develop a policy that not only that covers telecommunications infrastructure more broadly rather than restrict it to towers. In this context, the scope of works proposes that Council prepares a strategic telecommunications infrastructure policy. Appendix 1 outlines the works that were required, and they're summarised on page 148 of this report. They include the preparation of a project plan and background analysis, the development of the draft policy and internal consultation with council staff, and also with the carriers, and external consultation with the community. Following the feedback from the community and other stakeholders, the final policy would be drafted and reported back to council. It is anticipated that a budget of $50,000, exclusive of GST, would be required to prepare the policy document, including the relevant consultation processes required and also the development of a local policy for the Melton Planning Scheme. It should be noted again that the funds have not been allocated in Council's 2016-17 budget, and they would need to be allocated before the project could commence. In response to part two of the notice of motion, the policy will generally relate to infrastructure that triggers a planning permit. It is considered that by working with the carriers to develop the policy, it could be used more broadly for all telecommunications infrastructure. Furthermore, it is anticipated that working in consultation with the carriers and the preparation of the policy will encourage an open dialogue to ensure Council has a better understanding of future rollout plans and co-location opportunities. Finally, in response to part three of the notice of motion, it is anticipated that the document and creation of a local planning policy will strengthen Council's ability to manage the siting of new facilities that trigger a planning permit and will be used alongside existing state and federal legislation to enable Council to determine the appropriateness of any new facility. The implementation of a local policy into the planning scheme relating to telecommunications infrastructure would also provide a stronger policy position for Council to defend decisions relating to the location of this infrastructure that do not accord with the policy at VCAT. In this context, and as set out in the report, it is therefore recommended that Council note the information provided in the report, and secondly, approve the preparation of the policy and allocate funds to prepare a strategic telecommunications infrastructure policy in the 2016-17 budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mellon. Does any councillor require any further clarification? I do have one question. It mentions that it must be noted that the strategic telecommunications infrastructure policy would only apply to telecommunications infrastructure that would trigger a planning permit application. Do you have an example of what other telecommunications infrastructure does not require a permit?
There are some low-impact facilities, so small antennas that you might see on buildings or in town centres that don't actually trigger the need for a planning permit, as long as they're in accordance with the code that governs telecommunications.
Sure. Thank you. Councillors, any other questions in regards to this item? I would like to move and stand and move this item 12.7 to note the information provided and also approve the preparation of the policy and allocate funds to prepare a strategic telecommunications infrastructure policy. And if I have a councillor to second, I'd just like to speak on behalf of the notice of motion. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. I'd just like to thank the councillors for supporting me on this particular strategic telecommunications mobile tower placement, as we know that we've had quite a few issues in regards to the placement of telecommunications mobile towers. And although this policy may not deter a telecommunication tower to be placed in an area that community members don't want to see it in, however, we will have that open dialogue with the community where do they actually want to see these communications towers go up, because this report not only includes mobile telecommunications but also the infrastructure around NBN. So we'll be seeing more and more of these planning applications coming forward, and I think it'll just strengthen Council's policy. And also, if we do find ourselves at VCAT, it will strengthen our case if we have this policy. So I thank my fellow councillors for supporting me in this, and also the council officers for their recommendation as well. Councillors, moving to item 12.8, planning application PA2104/4649, construction of three dwellings at 13 Warden Court, Kurrinjang. And this will be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This application relates to a site which has an area of 672 square metres and is located on the corner of Warden Court and Christina Crescent in Kurrinjang. In May last year, the council refused a planning application to construct three dwellings on the land, because there's a lack of policy support for medium-density housing in this location. The design was not considered to be respectful of the neighbourhood character, and the design will necessitate the removal of a tree in Warden Court. The applicants subsequently sought a review of council's refusal, which was heard by VCAT in February this year. In March this year, VCAT directed that the decision of council is affirmed and no permit is to issue. In its decision, the tribunal considered that the two key issues were the guidance in the planning policy framework for medium-density housing development and whether this design is respectful of the neighbourhood character. Essentially, the tribunal agreed with council that the proposal, in fact, was not respectful of the existing streetscape and character of the area, that the proposed removal of an existing street tree to accommodate the proposed crossover is not a good design outcome, and that the setback of Unit 3's garage from the Christina Crescent frontage is insufficient for someone to park a car in front of the garage without obstructing the adjoining footpath. So, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that Council note the VCAT decision as per the recommendation in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor need clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this item?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item 12.9, Planning Application PA2105/4746, 2-lot subdivision at 942/996 Beattie's Road, Rockbank, also presented to us this evening by Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This second application relates to a site which has an area of 12.4 hectares. And is located on the corner of Beattie's Road and Leakes Road in Rockbank. In July last year, the council refused the planning application to subdivide the land into two lots, essentially on the grounds that the proposal creates a small fragmented lot of 2 hectares, which has the potential to prejudice the preparation and implementation of a future precinct structure plan, which is yet to be prepared for that area. The applicants subsequently sought a review of council's decision, which was heard and considered by VCAT in March this year. And on the 28th of April this year, VCAT directed that the decision of council is affirmed and no permit is to issue. Essentially, the tribunal found that state and local policies are cautious about rural residential or low-density subdivision involving residential use in an area such as this awaiting urban development. This is because of the difficulties that arise from fragmented land ownership in planning and then achieving the purpose this land has been earmarked for. It also accepted that the subdivision, although it accepted that the subdivision is unlikely to prevent a precinct structure plan from being adopted and implemented, it considered that the aim is to achieve urban development in an efficient and orderly way, and the presence of the proposed 2-hectare dwelling lot and a separate balance lot in this location will add to the potential to prejudice the logical, efficient and orderly future development of the land. Madam Mayor, this particular decision is considered to be an important decision by VCAT, because it reinforces the council's consistent position of not supporting further land subdivision within a growth area until the precinct structure plan has been prepared and approved. So it's therefore recommended, Madam Mayor, that the council note the VCAT decision as per the recommendation in the report.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move the item?
I'll move it, Madam Mayor, that the council note the VCAT decision.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a seconder?
And I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion of notice of motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. 12.9, planning application PA2015/4746, two-lot subdivision at 942/996. Oh, sorry. This one? 12.9. Rock Bank? No. Did we just do 12.9? Oh, sorry. Moving on to 12.10. Planning application PA210, there's a few of these, so 2105/4886, construction of a second dwelling at 13 Fraser Street, Melton South. My apologies, Mr. Baggio. You'll also be presenting this one, Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This third VCAT decision relates to a site which is located on the north side of Fraser Street in Melton South, has an area of about 580 square metres. So in October 2015, Council refused the planning application to construct a second dwelling behind an existing dwelling on the site on the grounds that it was inconsistent with the Council's housing diversity policy, not respectful of the neighbourhood character, non-compliant with a number of res code standards, and was considered to be an overdevelopment of the site. The applicants sought a review of Council's decision, which was heard by VCAT on the 21st of April 2016. And on the 22nd of April 2016, VCAT directed that the decision of VCAT is affirmed and that no permit is to issue. In the VCAT decision, which was delivered orally at the conclusion of the hearing, the Tribunal considered that, in effect, the proposal sought to achieve too much for the rear of the site within a restricted space, contrary to neighbourhood character, which is quite consistent in the area. The Tribunal also indicated that whilst there are numerous attributes of the site that make it a potential candidate for some increase in density in line of Council policy, it was considered that the retention of the existing dwelling would require a more careful and sensitive approach to the siting and layout of any dwelling at the rear of the lot. So, Madam Mayor, it's recommended, again, that Council note the VCAT decision as per the recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any Councillor require any clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a Councillor to move this item?
I'd like to move this item.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any Councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.11, planning application PA2014/4588, construction of a retail and commercial development at 2 Riding Boundary Road and 231B Robinson's Road, Ravenhall. And this will be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. this is the last of the VCAT decisions being reported tonight. And this is a site which has an area of just under 4 hectares, which is located on the western side of Robinson's Road, extending from Orbis Drive to Riding Boundary Road in Ravenhall. In June last year, the Council refused a planning application to develop the site with 6 retail premises, a supermarket, medical centre and shop with associated car parking, landscaping and business signage. The application was essentially refused on the basis that that Vic Roads had in fact objected to the application because part of the site which was proposed to be utilised for car parking was actually required for the future widening of Robinson's Road. Another ground of refusal was that there was concern that the proposed use and development is inconsistent with the objectives and principles of Council's adopted retail activity centre strategy and the activity centre hierarchy outlined in that strategy. So the applicants sought a review of Council's decision, which was heard and considered by VCAT on the 21st and 22nd of March this year. And on the 5th of May, VCAT directed that the decision of Council is affirmed and no permit is to issue. In effect, the Tribunal found that the proposed development wasn't generally in accordance with the development plan, essentially due to the fact that the development plan required part of the land that was proposed to be used for car parking for the widening of Robinson's Road. So on that basis, because it was not generally in accordance with the development plan, then the tribunal considered that it wasn't appropriate to support the application. So, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that Council note the VCAT decision as per the recommendation in the report.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move item 12.11?
I'd like to move that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second this item?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the notice of motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item 12.12, planning application PA2003/504, extension of time for a 7-lot subdivision permit at 570 Parwin, Exford Road, Parwin. And this will be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager for Planning and Services. Sorry, Manager of Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This particular proposal relates to a site which has an area of 154.4 hectares. The property is known as Williston Farm and it's located at 570 Parwin Exford Road in Parwin. A planning permit was issued back in 2004, allowing the subdivision of the land into 7 lots, consisting of one primary lot of about 124 hectares and 6 secondary lots of 5 hectares each. So this application before council is essentially to extend the time on the planning permit, which is due to expire on the 14th of July this year. Madam Mayor, this is the third extension of time to the permit. The applicants have advised that they are now requesting a final 2-year extension to the permit and have been unable to complete the subdivision owing to other commitments over the last two or three years, and that now they have a clearer plan and renewed focus to complete the subdivision. Essentially, Madam Mayor, from an officer perspective, I guess while it's acknowledged that there's been protracted negotiations, particularly with Western Water, about the provision of water supply to the property, officers consider that it's not appropriate to extend the time on this permit any further on the basis that there's been a significant amount of time since the permit was initially issued, 12 years or so. The time limits imposed in the permit, as well as numerous amendments and previous extensions of time, are considered to be more than adequate to enable the subdivision to proceed. The reasons given justifying a delay in completing the subdivision considered to be insufficient, excuse me, to justify non-completion of the subdivision, and given that there has been a number of changes in state and local planning policies and other planning controls affecting the land, it's considered that a fresh application should be lodged so that it can be appropriately assessed against the current day planning regime. So therefore, Madam Mayor, it's recommended by officers that the application to extend the time be refused, subject to the grounds outlined in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Ramsey.
Can I ask Mr. Baggio, through you, Madam Mayor, in regards to the reticulated water, when we do planning permits, is it common to have reticulated water or another source of water on a planning permit, or is it always you must connect to a sealed road and reticulated water full stop? Or
yeah. For you, Madam Mayor, for these types of subdivisions, rural lot excisions in the green wedge zone, the council does have a policy in the planning scheme that specifically requires a connection to reticulated water supply and also access to a sealed road.
If I could have
Councillor Ramsey.
In regards to the distance from where the reticulated water comes from, apparently there have been some reports or planning reports that have come to council where Western Water have said that beyond 1.5, it's not safe to do so, to connect up to reticulated water, or the water's not as healthy. Is that accurate or not?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I'm not sure about the distance, whether 1.5 is relevant, but we have had previous advice from Melbourne Water that that where there is a considerable distance between the subject site and the where the water is connected, there are some health issues with, I believe, pooling up of the water in the pipe.
If I could just have one follow-up.
Sure, Councillor Ramsey.
What do you declare as a significant distance, and what is then required of the landholder to make that water safe, and does that come at an additional cost?
Free Madam Mayor, I'm not sure about that. I'm not an expert in that area.
Thank you. Councillors, any other further questions? Do I have a councillor to move this item? Councillor Dunn.
Madam Mayor, I would like to move an alternate resolution, if I may, that one, Council, having considered the extension of time request, resolves to extend the time for planning permit PA2003504 for a further 2 years, such that the permit will expire if the subdivision is not completed by the 14th of July 2018. And that, two, that Council advises the permit holder that this will be the final extension of time granted for the permit, and that any future extension of time request for this permit will not be supported by Council.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a Councillor to second this alternate notice of motion?
I'd like to support the alternate. Thank you, or the recommendation before us.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification around the alternate resolution? Do I have any councillor who opposes the alternate resolution? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the alternate resolution carried. Item number 12.13, planning application PA2015/4999, construct and carry out works to develop a 40-metre telecommunications NBN tower at 43/67 Ferris Road, Melton South. And this will be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio.
Madam Mayor, could I just move the recommendation as put, because the last thing I want to be hearing about is more phone towers.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to second this item?
I'll be second, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. 12.14, response to notice of motion 424, notification of planning proposals, presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The notice of motion covers a number of planning functions, so as such the report has been split into three sections. Planning permit applications, the preparation of strategic documents, and also planning scheme amendments. So just in terms of planning applications, the requirements for giving notice of an application are set out in section 52.1 of the Planning and Environment Act. Currently, for most applications, notice is given to landowners and occupiers in the immediate area of the site, which is generally adjoining and abutting properties. An on-site notice is also required to be erected along the frontage of the site. For some applications, however, where residents in a wider area may be potentially affected, then direct notification will be extended beyond just adjoining and abutting properties, and a notice will generally also be placed in the local newspaper. So some of the issues which we've encountered with the current process include that that regular mail can sometimes be unreliable, including letters returned to council after considerable periods of time with no explanation from Australia Post, that the regular mail can take 2 to 6 days to deliver, which potentially reduces the time for a person to prepare and lodge a submission. The on-site notice, whilst it's of a standard size, can become difficult to distinguish, particularly on properties with larger frontages. and applicants can take sometimes a significant period of time to return the statutory declaration, which can affect statutory timeframes. So to address these issues, it's proposed that that council do a number of things to improve the notification process for planning applications. The first is that the preparation, installation and removal of the on-site notice should be contracted to an external provider. The advantages of this are that applicant involvement is not required in the process. Council can be confident that the notification is carried out correctly and delays are minimised, and that the larger notices are available when they're actually required. It's also proposed that advertised applications and the documentation which accompanies those applications be uploaded onto Council's website to enable affected residents to view the application without having to visit or ring the Council. Further, at the registration stage, I propose that Council officers will identify those new applications which are considered to be significant or potentially contentious, and that these applications will then have almost like a consultation plan developed to ensure that any potentially affected sensitive uses are personally notified and given appropriate opportunity to discuss the proposal with other interested parties. And finally, where objections are received, council officers will determine whether there's merit in organising a consultation, mediation type meeting between the applicant, objectors, council officers and ward councillors to discuss the proposal, and that the meeting will be conducted after hours to enable affected residents to attend. So that sort of covers off on planning applications. In terms of preparation of strategic planning documents, there's no actual prescribed legislative process for developing plans, policies and strategies. However, the development of these documents is underpinned quite strongly by internal and external stakeholder engagement. So in terms of possible changes, it's recommended that each strategic project is supported by a community consultation or engagement strategy, which considers the following aspects in addition to the requirements outlined above: that council sign off of the community engagement plan for strategies of significant scale and complexity, considers other ways to notify stakeholders during the consultation stages of policy development, and these could include, for example, a notice board in council outposts with a notice of policy strategies that are currently being prepared, or a dedicated section in council's moving ahead publication, etc. Further consideration of opportunities where appropriate to integrate consultation with the community with other council projects to avoid over consultation, and consideration of opportunities depending on project time frame to attend council events more to engage with the community. And examples of that might be the Jarrawarra Festival or the My City, My Say sessions. So that's in terms of the strategic documents. In terms of planning scheme amendments, the requirements for giving notice of an amendment are also outlined in the Planning and Environment Act. And council would typically use a number of methods of communication when placing an amendment on exhibition. They include a public notice in the Melton Leader, a notice in the Government Gazette, and information about the planning scheme amendment is placed on council's website. In most instances, letters will also be sent to affected and interested parties advising them about the amendment and opportunities to make a submission. So, in terms of possible changes to the planning scheme amendment process, it's considered that a communication plan should be prepared which considers the following aspects in addition to the statutory requirements, and they are the creation of a fact sheet which explains the amendment in plain English, identification of the appropriate tools and technique to notify the community of amendments, and again, this could include a notice board in council outpost with a notice, the amendment currently on exhibition. Explore replacing regular mail with registered mail in some instances. Whether hard copies of planning scheme amendment should be provided at additional locations, and that could include the Melton Library, Ainsbury or Diggers Rest, and additional opportunities for affected or interested parties to discuss amendments with the affected council. So they're the main recommendations, Madam Mayor. So it's recommended that council, in effect, adopt the proposed changes to notification, consultation and engagement processes as outlined in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsay.
Mr. Badger, if I may, through Madam Mayor, on page 272, you've got a list of proposed costs to each and every resident that wants to put up a or advertise a planning. These are the requirements that each and every resident, or just the ones that are sensitive and contentious?
Councillor, you're referring to part two?
I'm referring
on 272?
To the amounts there.
The amounts, yeah.
Proposed
the amounts at the top of the page or halfway down the page?
The 165, the 30, and the
65. so they're the costs which have been provided by a company that the council has contacted in relation to an external contractor carrying out the on-site notices.
So, do you know off the top of your head, because I don't, what it would cost a resident to put up a planning notice now today? And what it will cost that same resident tomorrow if this goes through?
Yeah. So in terms of the notice, at the moment, in effect, the council prepares the notice and gives it to the residents to erect on the property.
Okay.
It's just $10 at the moment for the notice. So adopting the proposed system would increase that to $165.
What about the other amounts there?
The other amounts aren't affected because essentially we're still proposing to retain the regular mail system. There's going to be some applications, potentially the more contentious applications, where the council may require registered mail. But essentially in terms of the mail, those costings which are provided at the top of page 272 are the current costings, if you like, which are $65 for the first 10 letters, $5 for letters thereafter, and then $10 for the on-site notice. The figure of $165 halfway down the page just relates to the proposal for the on-site notice.
Sorry, if I could just clear it up in my own. So at the moment we provide a sign for $10, and
that's
we're
right.
looking at possibly $165. But if
that's
you want
right.
additional signs, they're going to be $30.
That's right.
And if you want a larger sign, they're $265.
That's right. But the difference is, as I mentioned
but
before,
but they're optional.
The difference is, no, that they become mandatory. But the difference is that at the moment it's the applicant's responsibility to put the sign up,
yeah.
whereas under this system it would be done for the applicant.
And he would just pay $165.
Correct. So there'd be no need to put up the sign, to erect the sign. There'd be no need to complete a statutory declaration and return that to council.
When would it be deemed necessary for the owner to pay $265?
Oh, look, there might be, as I say, it's really those properties with, I guess, rural-type properties which have a very large frontage, where it's considered appropriate to have a larger sign than just the normal standard sign.
So, Mr. Badger, just a further question. In regards to the current $10 application that they put on their land, is there a difference in size for it to go to 165, or is it the same size?
Same size.
Same size, just they don't need to...
They don't need to do anything.
...to worry about it. They don't have to go on their land. Or apparently there's a thing that they have to get a stat deck to say that
yep.
they've done it, etc.
So the contractor would, as it indicates there, would prepare, install, monitor, and then remove the sign at the end of the period.
And just referring to one particular issue that will be further in the agenda, one of the problems that seemed to have occurred in the Brookside telecommunications tower was that the notice was too small, and the residents claimed that they didn't realise that it was there.
Yeah.
Will that particular, if it's an issue like that coming forward in the future, will that sign be larger?
Correct, Madam Mayor. It'd be in part two on page 272, it mentions larger notices, and the dimensions of those larger notices are 1.2 metres by 1.5 metres. So that's the type of notice we'd be looking at.
And just referring back to or any telecommunications tower, what was the size originally for that? Was it A1? Do we know what the measurements are for A1? It's not 1 metre, is it? It's less?
No, it's less than a metre.
About like that. Thanks, Dan. 2A3s, thank you. Sorry, didn't mean to put you on the spot. Councillors, any further questions in regards to this item? I'd like to stand and move 4A3s. Thank you, Mr. Torrey. I'd like to stand and move the recommendation that Council support the proposed changes and thank the Council officers, particularly in the Planning Department, for strengthening the notification and consultation and engagement process for our residents and community. Do I have a Councillor to second the notice of motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a Councillor who opposes?
Madam Mayor, I don't oppose per se. I've just got some concerns over the average normal person having to pay $155 extra for the same. Apart, you know, they do the work and they provide the stat deck, and now I believe that we should be doing it for contentious issues and phone towers and all the rest of it.
Are we going into debate, Councillor Ramsay?
I'm just trying to work out whether
do I have any councillor who opposes the notice of motion?
I have concerns. I'll oppose it for the sake of debate.
Okay. Councillors, we enter into debate, and I guess I can rise and I'll just say that I'd like to reserve my right of reply and just hear Councillor Ramsay's argument. Councillor Ramsay.
Well, I really haven't got an argument per se, Madam Mayor, apart from to say that now if someone wants to put up a planning permit and go through the process, the initial board is usually quite satisfactory for most residential homes. And sending out letters to their neighbours is usually fine. Some contentious issues do normally occur when it's on larger blocks and rural and they don't know where their neighbours are, and registering mail I think is an excellent idea, and bigger signage at 265 I think is great for things like phone towers and others to alert the community of what's there. But I think for every normal average resident who's going through the planning process, this is only stage one of a long list of things they have to do, and currently they're getting that for $10, and I think going to $165 might be a pretty big jump.
Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think we've heard from the officers that it needs to be done properly, putting up these signs, and it needs to be done by someone who's professional in that field, who can actually put the sign up where people can actually see it. And we had that case at Brookside where the sign was not seen. So if that was done like a bigger sign, people would have seen it and we wouldn't have got into what's happening now.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor to speak against the motion? Do I have any councillor to speak for the motion? Do I have any councillor who'd like to speak on the matter at all? My final comments in regards to this is I see Councillor Ramsay's point in regards to the increase in fee. However, I do take upon what Councillor Cugliari said, and it does need to be done professionally. In some instances, there's also been times when an applicant has said that they've put the sign up and the neighbours have said that they haven't, and there's been confusion around that. This way, the resident doesn't actually have to worry about getting a stat deck. It'll be done. We know that it will be ticked off. The appropriate sign will be there for all to see, and it'll be located in the spot that it's supposed to be located. So that's why I'm in agreement with the officer's recommendation. Councillors, debate has closed. I'd like to ask now, councillors, all those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, I declare the motion carried. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to 12.15, response to notice of motion 426, street widths and parking management in residential areas. And this will be presented by Mr. Voltaire David, Acting Manager, Engineering Services. Thank you, Mr. David.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is in response to a notice of motion tabled at the ordinary meeting of council held on 2nd of May 2016 that sought requirements of road widths and vehicle parking within residential streets and options for parking provisions on streets with narrow roadways. Regarding the first two parts of the notice of motion, the requirements for road widths and parking provisions in residential areas are stipulated in the Melton Planning Scheme, which is an incorporated document under the Planning and Environment Act of 1987. Prior to 2006, the Melton Planning Scheme allowed for residential streets with a road width of 5 to 5.5 metres or 7 to 7.5 metres with vehicle parking provided on the roadway. In 2006, an amendment was made to the Melton Planning Scheme such that the minimum requirements became a 5.5 metre wide roadway with one verge parking per two lots, or in other words, one on-street parking space per allotment, which was not guaranteed under the previous standards. Other documents that affect the parking provisions in residential streets are the Building Code of Victoria and the Road Safety Road Rules. The latter can be enforced by Victoria Police and Council through its local laws department. The relevant road rules relating to parking in residential streets are Road Rule 197, which essentially states that parking on a nature strip, whether fully or straddling between the nature strip and roadway, is generally not allowed. Road Rule 198, which states that a driver generally cannot park their vehicle fully or in part across the footpath or a vehicle crossing. And Road Rule 208, which specifies that a vehicle must be parked so that there is at least 3 metres of road alongside the vehicle that is clear for other vehicles to pass. So this means, in essence, that on a narrow 5.5 metre roadway, two cars cannot be parked opposite each other and obstruct traffic. To further understand whether sufficient parking was provided on residential streets, council officers collected information from the Australian Bureau of Statistics census data regarding vehicle ownership. It showed that the average car ownership per dwelling was 1.9, so on that basis sufficient parking is provided when considering lots generally have a garage and driveway to park their vehicles. The census data also showed that 19% of dwellings in Melton had more than two vehicles, but those extra vehicles could be accommodated on street. Council officers also conducted a small parking review on a sample of streets having 5.5 metre road widths. For the majority, one on-street parking space was provided to each lot. However, a few streets did not meet that requirement. Council officers mapped out the locations to understand where parking fines were issued in the last 3 years. It showed a number of the parking infringements were on 7 to 7.5 metre wide roadways, where room is provided for parking on both sides of the carriageway. So it highlighted that residents may not be aware of the road rules relating to parking. So this was factored into the options proposed to council. So the options considered but not recommended are that there be no change to existing parking provisions in residential areas, that indented parking bays are provided to all of the 5 to 5.5 metre wide roads within the municipality, which would cost approximately $13 million, that no standing or no parking signs are installed on one side of all the 5 to 5.5 metre wide roads at a cost of approximately $800,000. These options were deemed inappropriate by council officers, and council officers recommend to council the following. The council officers undertake a full parking review of the 5 to 5.5 metre wide road network in the city of Melton, and where streets do not provide one on-street parking space per allotment, that they be allocated to a capital works program for future funding of works. Two, that a brochure be developed and distributed to residents within the municipality outlining street parking regulations. And three, that council officers investigate options to increase the building setback of houses in new residential developments to provide for increased driveway parking.
Thank you, Mr. David. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? I do have one question, Mr. David, in regards to the recommendation, item number one is obviously looking at retrospect. Has council officers considered, and obviously the for future, it's looking at building, changing the building setback of houses, but what about for future developments in regards to the 5 to 5.5 metre wide road network? Is there any way that council can include that for future developments, to include those off-parking, off-street parking, or the side parking there, or off-street parking? Is there any way that we could include that in future developments for, say, a developer to pay for future? Because obviously this is going looking retrospect. What about for future?
Thank you for that question, Madam Mayor. In the new precinct structure plans, the roads are deemed to be 7.3 metres wide for the access streets, and the 5.5 metre wide access streets will only be allowed where allotments are on one side of the streets. And so on the other side, it may be a creek, a waterway, or it may be open space, so then they will be allocated one space per one lot.
Is that off-street parking when you say they'll be... Or
yeah,
on-street parking.
On-street parking.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for clarifying that. Councillors, do I have a councillor to move this recommendation?
And my question, Madam Mayor.
Yep, Councillor Turner.
The figure given, Volterra, is 1.9 cars per lot. Where does the average come from? Is that over all of Melbourne or Victoria or Australia?
No, that's from the census data for Melton.
Only for Melton?
Only for Melton.
I would have thought in Melton, in a lot of areas, we have a lot higher percentage than 1.9. I mean, well, with Melton being an outer suburban area, we have a lot of cars here. It just seems a low number.
Well, that's the census data, the most current census data that we received.
Yeah. I feel that most houses have minimum two cars. 1.9 is not quite two, is it? Anyway, thank you for that.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillors, do I have any other further clarification or questions in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this item?
I'd like to move, Madam Mayor, as per except for number three. Council officers investigate options to increase the building setback of houses and or garages, as an addition there, and or garages in new residential developments to provide for increased driveway parking.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor who would like to second this recommendation with that slight amendment?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to second that.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the notice of motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried and commend Councillor Turner for this notice of motion. This is a huge issue, particularly not only in the whole of the municipality, but particularly in the Eastern Corridor, where I do believe that it's more average than 1.9 as well. But I guess be proved incorrect with the status of the ABS, I guess. Councillors, moving on to Agenda 12.16, amendment to an existing approved precinct structure plan to allow for the construction of three double-storey dwellings on the subject land at 5 Lorimer Street, Caroline Springs. And this will be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager, Planning and Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is an application for the construction of three double-storey attached dwellings on a site in... Lorimer Street in Caroline Springs. The land has an area of about 573 square metres. The application was informally advertised, and in response one objection was received. The grounds of objection, essentially on the basis that the density of the proposal is too high, limited car parking available in Lorimer Street for residents and visitors, that the proposal will result in the loss of one indented car parking space, and there was also concern about the setback of a garage for dwelling one being 2.25 metres when it was considered that it should be a minimum of 5 metres. So from an officer perspective, it's considered that the proposal generally satisfies the requirements of res code under the planning scheme. It's considered that the development is... essentially respectful and complementary with the neighbourhood character of the area and won't cause any issues in terms of overlooking and overshadowing to adjoining properties. It's also considered that the proposal is consistent with the built form and scale, the development in the surrounding area, which is characterised by a mix of double-storey, triple-storey in some cases, dwellings, and also a number of single detached houses. So it's a bit of a mixed area from a density perspective. While it's acknowledged that the proposal will necessitate the removal of an existing indented on-street car parking space and a street tree, and while this is considered unfortunate, the permit does require that the applicant would pay council for a replacement street tree, and the loss of one car space is considered reasonable given that adequate on-site car parking is being provided for the development. So accordingly, it's recommended that the application to amend the permit be approved as per the recommendation in the report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Mr. Badger, I have a question. It says that it's in the heading, it says amendment to an existing approved precinct plan. What does our current existing approved precinct plan say about this particular area?
For you, Madam Mayor, just to summarise, in the report at page 286, there's reference in the table, which is headed zone, there's reference to council approving a precinct plan on the 5th of November 2009, which identifies the land as being suitable for residential purposes, and in brackets it has patio housing product of 2 to 3 storeys.
However, if this is an amendment, what's the amendment for? Does it allow for 3 double stories, or does it not allow for 3 double stories?
Madam Mayor, I don't read it that way. It talks identifying the land just for residential purposes, so I believe the reason why three dwellings would require an amendment to the precinct.
Okay, plan. So three dwellings would require the amendment of the existing approved precinct plan.
Yep.
Councillors, are there any further questions? Councillor Ramsey. Sorry, Councillor Ramsey, your microphone. Thank you.
It's just been pointed out to me that the subject land has an area of 573 metres squared. That's probably 2/3 of my block, and I'm trying to think of 3 units on that. Most of the ones in that area, are their blocks smaller than 300 square metres? And how low do we have to go for those sort of sizes? Because at the moment my maths is telling me that that's under 200 per unit.
Yeah. For you, Madam Mayor, I guess you've got to look at it in the context of the area. Maybe if I can take you to Appendix 2 on page 292. A little bit hard to make out, but you can see that the surrounding area opposite the site, you've got that sort of almost, it's almost like terrace type housing, so the lots are quite narrow. Those lots are beginning down, 300 metres and probably a bit less. So there's examples of this type of housing certainly in that part of Caroline Springs.
Councillors, any further questions? I'd actually like to rise and move an alternate motion for amendment to an existing approved precinct plan for the construction of 3 double-storey dwellings on land at 5 Lorimer Street, Caroline Springs, and the resolution reads that Council refuse the application to amend an approved precinct plan on the following grounds. Number one, the density of the proposed development is excessive and fails to respect or complement the neighbourhood character of the area. Number two, the proposal does not satisfactorily address the objectives and standards of the Res Code pursuant to Clause 55 of the Melton Planning Scheme with respect to neighbourhood character and secluded private open space. Number three, the proposal fails to respond to the constraints of the subject land. In particular, the proposal in its current form will result in the removal of an existing street tree and an indented car parking space at Lorimer Street. Number four, the proposal is considered to be an overdevelopment of the site, in particular the combination of the double-storey building elements, attached building construction and narrow frontages presented by the dwelling creates the impression that the proposed dwellings are being squeezed into the subject land. And number five, the current existing approved precinct plan allows for one dwelling and not three dwellings. Councillors, do I have a councillor to second the alternate motion for amendment to an existing approved? Thank you, Councillor Dunn, for saving me. Thank you, Councillor Dunn.
I'd like to move that. Thank you.
Does any councillor oppose the alternate motion?
I'd like to oppose the alternate motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. We now enter into debate. That's okay. You'll have your chance, Councillor Bentley. Councillors, I would like to reserve my right of reply and hear what the objections will entail. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Dunn. It's Councillor Turner because he's opposed. Sorry. My apologies.
Thank you, Madam
Councillor
Mayor.
Councillor Turner.
I just feel in this area this is the type of housing in the rest of the development. I don't believe, in keeping with what's in the character of the neighbourhood there, that it's any different from what's on facing both edges of the block. If you look at the building, there's heavier development opposite on one of the streets. I just feel it's in keeping with what's already there. As far as the tree goes, as long as it's replaced with the tree's removed, yes, that's fine, but we can replace it with another mature tree. I just don't believe it's an overdevelopment for this type of site. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have to object to Councillor Turner saying that it's in the neighbourhood character. I believe that it's not in the neighbourhood character because although it is surrounded by warehousing development, the internal where the subject land is are much larger blocks, and I think having three premises on that smaller block not only puts extra stress onto the parking that's already stressed there, but I do believe that it's much too small for that area, and in keeping with that neighbourhood block, maybe two, but definitely not three.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to speak against the alternate motion?
There were several issues raised in the alternate motion that I'd like to address. The first being the res code and the neighbourhood character. It was quite clear from the report that it was made that these have been addressed and it is considered that this development is within the neighbourhood character. And it brings me back to a point that my Councillor Turner raised with respect to the development of the area. And I could draw my fellow councillors to page 291 with an aerial photo of that area. If we look to the west, you can see directly to the west a number of what I would see as double-storey townhouses. Fortunately, looking from an aerial view, it's a bit of a guess, but they would be very narrow, very similar sort of blocks. And if we look to the southwest, we see a number of units, very similar sort of development. And if we look to the south, you can see a number of garages that I assume would be in a similar sort of character to those to the west. And unfortunately, I disagree with Councillor Dunn in that she's looking at the neighbourhood of the particular lot, but it is the character of the area and the development of that area, not that block, but unfortunately that area. So I believe it is within, just looking at that small there, and if you look further as well, you'll see that that development is consistent within that area. And as we've discussed with the tree and the car parking, they have been addressed, and it's unfortunately we are removing a tree because we don't like to see that, but the permit addresses the fact that it has to be replaced. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Would any councillor like to speak for the alternate motion? Councillor Ramsey.
I'm going to separate myself from my ward councillors for 30 seconds or less and say that neighbourhood character is for the whole area, yes, I agree. But when you've got a approved precinct plan of what you'd like to see in the area, it's basically these are policies that we've agreed to, these are policies that we've endorsed, and this is what we'd like to see. Now, at the end of the day, those things are in. When it comes to infill or something along that line, they're governed by these sort of frameworks. And, yes, I know that there's always going to be diversity of housing. There is quite a number of blocks and warehousing and stuff along that line. But Caroline Springs and that area in particular is so lacking in car parking. We've got to lose an extra one, I just don't think is appropriate. And yes, when you look at, like I said, when you've got properties in Melton South that are a third bigger and have one house on them, to have three houses on there, which are going to cater for car parking on site, I just find that almost humorous thing. We've got 1.9 cars per person. So, and on that 500, just over 500 square metres, you're going to have at least room for six car parks or on the road. I truly believe that I agree with Councillor Dunn. If it come to us with two, I'm more likely to look at it more favourably. But three, I think it's an overdevelopment.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any other councillor wish to speak on this alternate motion before I say my final words? No? Councillors, I'd like to just rise and finish off by saying that a couple of points. The part of the refusing of this application because of the removal of a street tree, in item 12.8, we were shown an application that went to VCAT, and part of this application of refusal, even though it be a small part, was because a tree had to be removed. So to look at this in a different way and saying, oh, well, you know, we can just pay for another tree and it'll be planted, I don't agree with that. Previously, things have come to council where an application wasn't needed. However, a resident did design their house accordingly and had the best design that they thought fit for their family and their circumstances, and paid lots of money for this design, only to be told that they cannot get this design approved because the tree needed to be removed and they instead should look at redesigning their home. I tend to agree with Councillor Dunn that if this application came with two dwellings, that means that the indented car space and also the tree would not have to have been removed. So the same instance, they would need to reconsider the plans to not remove the tree, which was in Coburn's ward, may I say, in 12.8, because of a removal of a tree, even though, like I said, a small part of it. And seeing that we've just moved a motion to look at putting in capital works indented car spaces, I'm a little bit surprised to see that the fellow councillor that approved that, and it was his idea, is now saying it's okay to get rid of the car space. And I'm not having a go at you, Councillor Turner, but I'm just looking at those indented car spaces and I take note that all of them are filled up at its current capacity. Now, I do realise that there are smaller warehouse type of housing there, but I think that's enough for that area. I think extending that will put big pressure, especially along that area. Myself and Councillor Dunn know the area well. We know that car park space is very, very limited and scarce, particularly in that area, and we don't want to encourage our fellow residents to park illegally and get a fine. So, councillors, I implore you to accept this alternate motion for amendment to the existing approved precinct plan. Councillors, debate has closed. All those in favour, councillors, of this alternate motion, please raise your hand. Those against, I declare the motion carried for the alternate motion. Thank you, councillors. Moving to agenda item 12.17, which I have declared a conflict in regards to this agenda, and I'd like to ask fellow Deputy Mayor Councillor Cugliari to resume the chair as I exit the chamber. Thank you, councillors.
Okay, thank you. 12.17, Telecommunications Tower, Brookside Reserve, and the presenter is Mr. Caltori.
Madam Deputy, sorry, may I just ask if we can have this item deferred for a month? Or lay on the table for a month, please?
So we've got an alternate recommendation for it to be deferred for another month. Okay, do I have...
Second.
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor. Not that I want to see telecommunication towers stay on our agenda forever, but I believe there's some residents out there that need to digest some information.
Okay, do I have anyone opposing it? Oh, yeah. Put it to a vote. I haven't done this for a while. Put it to a vote. Those in favour? Then I declare the motion carried, the alternate motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Coyle.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. Councillors, let's move on to agenda item 13, reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. So these are reports on external committees and external representation bodies for which councillors have been appointed by council. I'd like to start off with Councillor Turner. Thank you, Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Oops, you got a jump on me. I don't know if someone was trying to tell you, but I've lost it.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Turner. Do you want me to give you a couple of minutes?
If you don't mind, yeah.
Yeah, I'll start off with Councillor Carley.
I apologise, I wasn't prepared.
No, sorry for putting you on the spot. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 10th of May, I attended the Arts and Cultural Advisory Committee with Councillor Turner, and the meeting minutes are in this evening's agenda. And on the 11th of May, I attended the Community Youth Grants Assessment Panel meeting with Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I won't go through the last 3 months because I've been absent, so I apologise. In the last month, I've attended the Community Learning Board, and there's some sad news out. Executive Officer Mr. Peter Blunden has tendered his resignation to Council. He's done some fantastic work in nurturing the Community Learning Board since 2002, basically. And the stuff in regards to UNESCO has been second to none, and that will be a sad... I mean, he's not leaving quite yet. He's not leaving till the end of July, I believe. But... I look forward to, because he's put Melton on the map and our Community Learning Board has been recognised right across the world now as a result of those efforts, so I'd like to see that continue. Road Safe Westgate I attended on behalf of Council, and I'll just briefly touch on that. We've had one fatality, 13 serious injuries, 41 minor, and total of 55. There were 34 impoundments, 12 disqualified, 7 exceeding the speed limit by 45 k's, 5 unlicensed, 3 for improper use, 3 drink drivers 0.1 and above, 2 exceeding the speed limit or evading police by 70 k's, and another 2. 20 of those 34 offenders resided within the Melton PSA, which means that the others were passing through. 31 of the 34 were male, 3 were female, 2 were learners, believe it or not. 21 had full licences and 11 were probationary. There have been some other incidents right on the borders of our municipality, which on Boundary Road,
which will give us fatalities in the next month sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, with winter coming on, road conditions being subpar in certain circumstances, and especially black ice on the road, please drive to the conditions. The only other thing was I was proud to be representing Road to Zero for the new L2P car that was launched, which was a Toyota Prius, and the Mountain Waves reference group. The agenda's in the item further down. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. For committees for the month, I attended a few committees. I also attended a meeting with the new Witten Project participants. That was a good night. I attended, of course, the Arts and Cultural with Councillor Carley. The Caldack committee meeting. Also, the municipal... Why did I get the long ones with the long words? Melton Municipal Emergency Management Planning Committee, yes. And also I attended, this is a better one, MRLCCG, which stands for the Melton Regional Landfill Consultative Committee Group. And that was actually a very interesting night. Now that it's been called in by the Minister for a decision, it was kind of a non-event. However, the... I can't remember the lady's name, Jen. Bob would be able to tell me her position. If she was the facilitator, correct. Yeah, the facilitator resigned on the night, and basically the meeting was aborted and the committee abandoned. So the committee is no longer in existence. There will be new terms of reference being written, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes forward. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I only... speak very briefly. I met with myself and Councillor Quagliari and Mr. Peter Bean in relation to the Mayoral Charity Funding Advisory Committee, and we basically just spoke. We had the initial meeting, and we just spoke in relation to the boundaries of the grants submissions, as well as considerations around expected dates for the presentation of the grants, and more information will be provided to residents and community groups as it develops. Thank you, Councillor Quagliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I actually had the three meetings, one that you've just mentioned. I also had the Reconciliation Advisory Committee, where we discussed Reconciliation Week and NAIDOC Week. I also had a monthly grant assessment, where we had one applicant. And I think we've only got a month to spend the money, so I encourage groups to actually apply to the monthly grant assessment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 4th of May, I attended the annual grants assessment, and the minutes are provided, but they're in confidential, so you'll have to wait. And on the 5th of May, I also attended the Western Melbourne Tourism Board, and we discussed quite a few things. One of them I just highlight is the new ferry that's running from Wyndham Harbour. I haven't been on it, but they say that's quite a good ride, so I think if you've got a lazy day that you want to get out on the water, certainly give it a try. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't think I've attended any committee meetings this month.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Let's move on to agenda item 14, Councillor Representations and Acknowledgements. And obviously this is the addresses from councillors in relation to matters of civic leadership and community representation. And I'll start off with Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's been an interesting month. It's been a really good month, actually. There's been some great stuff happening in the community. Just a few things that are not committee things. I attended the L2P, the launch of the new car with Councillor Ramsey, which was Toyota Prius, which has been donated by a local Toyota dealer to the L2P program. Well, it wasn't donated. They got a very good deal on it, but it was a grant that come from the Caroline Springs Club. But so we had that. We had the relaunch of the resale centre, which was well attended. It was a good day. Also, the Melton, I think all the councillors were at this one, the Galley Winery, the volunteer week function for all the council's volunteers, and it was good to see them all there on the night having a good time. They certainly deserve it for all the work they put in. Attended the pop culture event, which is Pickled Pop Culture, it was called, and There was demonstrations from the most impressive fermenters, picklers and preservers across Melbourne, and the CWA were there with their wares as well, so that was good. Attended the corporate breakfast for Hope Street, which was in support of their new project, which has recently been partly funded by government. Melton Botanic Gardens yesterday. I'll leave Councillor Bentley to speak about that. It's close to his heart. And yesterday I also attended the Melton Red Cross certificate presentation, thanking the volunteers for Red Cross calling in March. There's one thing I'd like to just bring up before I finish, and I'll just read it out as it is, if you don't mind, Madam Mayor. On the 8th of May, a six-year-old was being led on a horse appropriate in Minns Road. Totally out of character, the horse got spooked and took flight. Young Molly fell off, but her foot was caught in the stirrup, and she was dragged 80 metres. When someone got to her, she was unconscious, not breathing, and had no pulse. Three local men who happened to be in the area took control of the situation, performed CPR, captured and controlled the horse, called an ambulance, and made the area safe. The men ensured Molly's head and neck were kept stationary, and they reassured her until the ambulance arrived. Molly has fortunately been cleared of any brain or spinal injury, but suffered two breaks in her right arm, five breaks in her right foot, and a broken collarbone. The action of these three men in coming to the aid of someone in acute need of assistance is testimony to the spirit of our community. Martin Cooper, Josh Monroe, and Nathan Pretty must be commended for their response when witnessing such a life-threatening situation. Therefore, Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that letters of acknowledgement under seal of council be forwarded to Martin Cooper, Josh Monroe, and Nathan Pretty in appreciation of their actions on May the 8th that may well have saved a young girl's life.
Councillors, we have a notice of motion before us from Councillor Turner, and thank you for reading that letter. I'm glad that Molly is much better. Thank God that the three gentlemen were there to help her. As a mum and I guess as a parent, you just can't imagine anything like that happening to your child. So, councillors, we have a notice of motion before us. Does any councillor require any clarification before I ask for a seconder? Do I have a seconder? I can see Councillor Ramsey's almost jumping out of her seat.
I'd definitely like to second that and endorse our gratitude to not only the three men, but for Molly, and one day when she recovers, I'd love to meet her.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. I do actually have a question, Councillor Turner, and I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but would this even constitute their names being put up for a Medal of Honour? I'm not sure. It could be a consideration.
Well, Madam Mayor, I just took advice on this, and this was the easiest thing for us to do initially, but I think, yeah, it'd be fantastic if we can do something further, but time will tell.
Can we perhaps just add that onto the notice of motion to consider or look into?
The council consider, yeah.
Council consider and look into putting up these appropriately looking into the appropriate medals that are available, Medal of Honour, etc. I do apologise, Councillor Turner, I'm just saying this on the fly.
Sorry,
so
I'm happy to take your alternate motion.
Councillor Ramsey, are you happy to add on those extra words?
Definitely. Is that Molly Downey?
Yeah, and she's a lively little thing. I went and visited her a couple of days later and she was still jumping about.
I take it back. I do know Molly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor require any further clarification with this slightly amended notice of motion? Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the notice of motion with the slight amendment carried. Thank you, Councillor Turner, for bringing that to our attention as well. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 17th of May, I attended the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia Celebrations event, and I'll leave Councillor Ramsey to speak more about that, but I can say that was a great morning. And on the 26th of May, I attended the Diggers Rest Biggest Morning Tea at Houdini's Cafe and Cucina, and that was also a great morning, and from what I understand, they actually raised over $2,000 that morning.
Fantastic.
I know you were there, Madam Mayor, so it was Councillor Ramsey. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Ramsey.
It's pretty hard to not double up with Councillor Turner
when he attends all the events, but we launched the Bridge Road Play Space in your absence, Madam Mayor, and Councillor Dunn was with me for that. The Melton Volunteers function was absolutely sensational, and can't think of who the guest speaker was now. Maureen Kelly. She wanted to pass on her appreciation, Maura, sorry, to Madam Mayor, and missed you. So
thank you.
The pop culture pickled. You can have my maple bacon because I'll never get around to making it. The International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia was sensational. To our staff who came out to support the event and to the community groups that were there from the Macedonian Fishing Club right through to the Aboriginal, the Kirup group, I believe it is, and others that were well represented on the day. It was absolutely sensational to see. And to our staff member who spoke so beautifully and had everybody understanding the value of acceptance was absolutely a sight. It was an event not to miss, and Councillor Carley helped me raise the flag at the close of that event. Fertility Free Friday was last Wednesday, and there's always a play because we sign up on a Wednesday for the Friday. So it's always on a Wednesday. People come together. The weather was slightly inclement, but Madam Mayor, you soldiered on and did an absolutely beautiful job there. The corporate breakfast for Hope Street, which many of us attended, and the 2016 Biggest Morning Tea Race, 2057, and I believe the spinning wheel is going to be donated to council so we can make our decisions from there on in. So I thought maybe we do an odds for one thing and an evens for another. And I actually jokingly on the day said, odds, Diggers Rest leave for Sunbury, and evens they stay for Melton. But that went over like a lead balloon. In regards to next week, I know the Botanical Gardens had an open day yesterday, but next week during Reconciliation Week, there's going to be a function there on the Thursday and a walk on the Friday, so you'll see me at one of those events, I promise. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Quigliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to highlight that it is actually Reconciliation Week this week, and it started on Friday the 27th, and it will continue to Friday the 3rd of June. I'd like to highlight it's a year to build up a platform for understanding our nation's history, story and future. We have a variety of local activities. Councillor Ramsey did mention some walks through the Melton Botanic Gardens. It's actually a guided walking tour. We've also got some things happening at the libraries. There's an oral history. Histories of Melton Soundscape. I think I need to wear my glasses here. Can't read my writing. There was a Biggest Morning Tea with the Marla Women's Group, dedicated to the memory of Auntie Rhonda. And there's also an art exhibition happening this week, a collection of artwork from the Karrinjong Primary School and our local artist, Heather Dawn Aisha from the Marla's Women's Group. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Quigliari. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended quite a few along with other councillors crisscrossing. So Community Safety Forum, that was quite good. The first time I sat in a room and felt very safe because I think there was a total of 11 police in the gallery with us. Turning of the Sod for the Pride of Melton. It was a bit of a washout, but we still had it in the library. Bridge Road Regional Play Space. The relaunch of the resale centre, which is very bad for me to go into because I know that I can't resist a bargain, and I did get a bargain. And I'd recommend everyone go there because there's some great stuff there. Community drop-in for the Tarnate Plains and the Mount Atkinson PSPs, which is very important to have a bit of feedback for those people that are affected by these PSPs that are coming out.
We attended the volunteer week function, My City, My Say in Tulan Vale, which is a great, that was a great day. I've actually attended a few of those now, but it's great to see it being held out into our rural areas, and it's a lovely little community out in Tulan Vale. Breakfast for Hope Street and My City, My Say in Ainsbury, again, a great little community, and also went for, it was meant to be an hour, but I got David Pye, so it was an hour and a half walk around the Melton Botanic Gardens, but I could keep walking around there, so bought a few plants, and I'd suggest that people go and continually revisit the Botanic Gardens. The amount of work that you guys have done is just fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, council officers and members of the gallery, I'd like to take you on a bit of a journey. I'd like to take you back approximately 6 months ago when I'm probably hanging around with one of my friends and my friends say to me, hey, who wants to go running a half marathon 23 kilometres along the Great Ocean Road? And I go, oh, that'll be fantastic. What a great idea. Sign me up. Take you forward about 5 months from there to a month ago. And I'm thinking, what the hell did I sign up to? Why did I decide to run 23 kilometres along the Great Ocean Road? I better actually get out and get some kilometres into my legs. So I get out, I put the runners on, and I go running along in this beautiful city of ours. And it was great to just get out there and see what we have in this city. We forget about what we've got out there in these passive open spaces so often. You run along the Tulan Creek, you see all the beautiful river eucalypts you've got along there. You get into Hanawatts Park, you see the play spaces that we have there. You run alongside the golf course up there, you see all the greenery and people enjoying some light activity. And then you look at other places, you've got Navan Park up the top. And then we're driving along, we went to the Have Your Say in Ainsbury with the better half, as she likes to think of herself, and we're driving through the forest there, and she goes, this would be wonderful to have. If I had this and I was a kid, this would be my backyard. That Pinkenden Forest, you'd love to get out there and just get in there and play. So it was just a great excuse to get out there and see it once again. And then I'll bring you forward to about 2 weeks ago, where I get in there and I get on the Great Ocean Road, we start, get a bit of Cat Stevens going along to run along to, and it was fantastic. And unfortunately, you can't meet some of the views that you get while you're running along there. It was fantastic. But we've got to see what we've got in Melton in these passive spaces and get it out there. And that's something that I'm going to look at over the next, hopefully, 6 months, work at getting out there and advocating those passive spaces for. And then, as we come to it, and I'd like to say thank you, Council Attorney, for giving me permission to wear my medal today, even though I chose not to do it, but that's it. So it brings me more to those passive open spaces, and as my fellow councillors alluded to, something I'd love to talk about, the Botanic Garden Open Day yesterday. It was a fantastic day. So we have a great asset there that we need to market more. It was something that on Facebook came up. About 12 months ago, we were on Gardening Australia on there. And ever since there, it's just grown and grown. And Costa was giving a talk while he was in the Sydney Botanic Garden. And he's talking to a horticulturalist there, and he says, oh, go visit your botanic garden. And he goes to the guy, oh, can you think of one? He goes, oh, maybe Melbourne. Costa goes straight away, the Melton Botanic Garden. Straight away to his head. That's how much of an asset that we have. Probably one of the greatest gardening faces that's recognised in this country thinks of the Melton Botanic Garden. So it's great to see that this asset we've got, it's growing, it's getting bigger, and it's fantastic that we had such a great day yesterday to recognise that. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Did you finish your marathon?
Yes, I did. I did the 21.1 kilometres in 1 hour,
wow,
59 minutes, and 58 seconds, and the 23 kilometres in a little under 2 hours and 9 minutes.
Wow, amazing.
Madam Mayor, can I ask a question?
Councillor Ramsey, sure.
Why didn't you run to Ainsbury?
If you saw how I finished after the Great Ocean Road Marathon, lucky I could walk to Ainsbury.
Just asking.
Okay, thank you, councillors. Thank you, Councillor Bentley. I'd like to mention a couple of things that I attended. Councillor Dunn forgot to mention, I believe, the Taylor's Hill Men's Shed, the first birthday anniversary event. It was a great event with the Sheddies. The Sheddies brought their wives and their friends and family to show them where they are now spending much of their free time. And the ladies, the wives actually said, thanked myself and Councillor Dunn for council to providing them a space where they can actually go out and talk to their fellow, their mates and talk about health issues as well. It was a fantastic atmosphere and council should really be proud with the great outcome of the shed and also the delivery of the great services to highlight men's health and wellbeing. I also had a meeting with myself, the CEO and Ms. Tennille Bradley with the Minister for Local Government, the Honourable Natalie Hutchins, and we discussed advocacy priorities for Melton and the NGAA campaign. We went through the Melton Advocacy Priority booklet and she was quite thrilled that we had something to give her that was quite, quick to read and just highlights of some of the things that we needed in our community. We also had discussions around the Interface Growth Council Fund and some of the projects that Melton will be putting up to her department for consideration. And we also thanked her on the Andrews government behalf for the funding of the duplication of the Melton train line, as well as other projects outlined in the 2016-17 state budget, which, going back to the train line, you can't wipe the smile off my face for that being funded. So we thanked her in regards to that and her support. I was also invited to attend the Government House in Melbourne to mark the centenary of the founding of Footscray Technical School and the 25th anniversary of Victoria University. I met with the Governor General as well as other dignitaries from Vic Uni, and I used this opportunity to advocate for Melton and the absence of Vic Uni in our community in a stylish kind of a way, councillors, so don't be alarmed. I'd like to also thank my fellow councillors for assisting me in attending all the events and the speeches that were required in my leave of absence during May. And finally, I'd like to make a presentation to Councillor Ramsey on behalf of, I guess, myself as the MAV delegate, but this is from the Municipal Association of Victoria. I'll just hold it up. The Mayor Meritus Certificate of Outstanding Service, and it's delivered to Councillor Sophie Ramsey. This certificate is awarded to councillors that have served three or more mayoral terms. Councillor Ramsey. And it comes with a little pin. As I guess our longest standing councillor in this council, it gives me great pleasure to present this to Councillor Ramsey on her dedication to this community, and also appreciate and acknowledge her term as three mayoral terms within the last 15 years on council. So thank you, Councillor Ramsey, on behalf of MAV. Councillor Ramsey, did you want to say a few words?
A few words, okay. I have never been so blessed to serve this wonderful council for the last 15 years and three terms as mayor. There is never an I. It's a team effort, and look at the wonderful community we've got to serve. They come out in droves. And yes, Madam Mayor, we advocate, we look after their needs as best we can, and it was a real humbling honour. But can I also say, I wasn't here when they made the announcement about the railway station. I've taken Leif Garrett and the Bay City Rollers off my wall, and I've put photos of Daniel Andrews, Tim Pallas and Don Nardella up there instead. So I just wanted people to know that we'll keep trying. We'll be here as long as they'll have us, and this community is worth fighting for.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Bay City Rollers, well. Wow. That's going back. Councillors, agenda item number 15, notices of motion. 15.1, notice of motion 427, Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I hereby give notice of my intention to move the following motion at the ordinary meeting of Council to be held on 30th of May 2016. The report be provided to Council regarding the options available to Council in seeking to promote the municipality as a plastic bag free area. And Madam Mayor, may I please speak to this if this motion gets up?
Sure. Councillors, do I have any questions in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to second the item?
I'm quite happy to second that item and commend Councillor Dunn in taking this environmental step.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Councillor Dunn, you may speak.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think it's quite important because we're such a... as a council, we've got our open resale centre. We've got many things that we pride ourselves on environmentally. We have our EER. And I think this just sort of follows along to get that next step, especially when we have a recent federal Senate inquiry into the threat of marine plastic pollution stated that the committee recommends that the Australian government support states and territories in banning the use of single-use lightweight plastic bags. And in doing so, the Australian government should ensure that alternatives do not result in other pollutants entering the environment. And I think it's quite a very important step for the council to take. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Moving on to agenda item 15.2, notice of motion 428, Councillor Turner.
That's better. Thank you, Madam. Item 50.2, hereby give notice to my intention to move the following motion at the ordinary meeting Council held on 30th of May 2016, that Council write to the Federal Minister for Infrastructure and Transport, State Minister for Road Safety and Vic Roads, impressing the urgency to have the Western Freeway upgraded from Christie's Road, Caroline Springs, Ravenhall, to Bulmans Road, Melton, including a full diamond interchange at Bulmans Road.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to second the notice of motion?
I'd be honoured to second that. Not only have they just given us the railway track, now we're going to hit them over the head for a freeway.
Oh, this is the federal minister, though.
No, it's state as well.
Yeah, and state, but federal as well. Councillors, do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Councillor Turner, did you want to say a few words in regards to your notice of motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Who could stop me? You could stop me, Councillor Randy, as usual. That's all right. No, it's just basically the highway is getting busier and busier. It's melting, and as we grow and get busier, it'll get worse. If you're coming in there at nights from 5 o'clock, it's at walking pace through into a rock bank. And we just really need to get something. We need to take notice now before it gets too bad. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillors, moving to item number 16, Councillors' questions without notice. Councillors, are there any questions without notice? Item number 17. Oh, sorry, Councillor Ramsey.
In our planning scheme, is there any clauses or policies we can relate to when it comes to subdivisions per se, and I don't want to say this without being when it comes to what was on the front page of the Herald Sun the other day, have we got anything in our planning scheme to enable communities to assimilate within the community and not create areas or pockets of intense development sort of stuff or intense gatherings? And I was trying to be very politically correct.
Through you, Madam Mayor. In that particular instance, it should be noted by Council that the permit was issued quite some time ago. It might have been about 10 or 12 years ago. It was issued initially for a medium density housing development, and then subsequently the permit was issued for subdivision. At that stage, there was nothing in the application to indicate that it was targeted to, you know, a certain community or certain people. And really, council just became aware of it recently when it came up in the media that was the case. In any event, it's not really a matter that would be addressed in a planning application for subdivision. So it wouldn't be something that would be considered or could be considered by council. It was purely an application for subdivision and development. So there's nothing in the planning scheme.
What about social inclusion?
No, because council, in considering an application for subdivision, depending on where it is, if it's in a growth area, then obviously there's the PSP, precinct structure plan, that needs to be complied with. Otherwise, subdivisions have to be, generally speaking, if they're in existing areas, have to be considered under clause 56 of the planning scheme that specifically relates to subdivision. And those standards, you know, generally apply, if you like, to, you know, physical standards in terms of road widths and provision of services and those sorts of things.
Thank you, Mr. Veggio. Councillors, any other councillors' questions without notice?
Could I have a follow-up, Madam Mayor?
Councillor Ramsey.
In this instance, and Kel can answer this or anyone else can have a go, the social dynamics of our community, it doesn't matter what race, religion or creed it is, we pride ourselves on the assimilation and the acceptance, the welcoming of. Is there something somewhere in our policy that says we want that social inclusion to continue?
If I might, Madam Mayor, I'll have a crack at answering this to Councillor Ramsey's satisfaction, but essentially what this circumstance demonstrates is a marketing strategy rather than a statutory approval. It's a standard, as Mr. Baggio said, this is a standard residential approval that is being marketed to a particular community, and that is not controllable by council in any way, shape or form. The owner of the property can choose how they wish to market and to whom they wish to market. I guess the only messages that council was keen to promote in the face of the fairly wide publicity that this has received was A, that whilst the publicity referred to a mosque in the centre of the development, there was no planning approval for such, and it could not be established without planning approval. And secondly, that the subdivision had been issued quite some years earlier. The permits had been issued. So whilst we do promote a inclusive community, and I think we exhibit in the majority of respects a preponderance to inclusivity, we are restricted in this area in much the same way as every other council is. So our role is primarily around community education and advocacy rather than around regulation and requirement.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Councillors, any other questions without notice? Item number 17, any motions without notice? Councillors, number 18, urgent business. Is there any urgent business? Moving on to agenda 19, confidential business. We do have a procedural motion here. Councillor Quagliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move a procedural motion that pursuant to its section 89(2) of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated. 19.1, Municipal Audit Committee meeting minutes, 27th of April 2016. Confidential report. This report is confidential in accordance with the S89 2D as it relates to contractual matters. 19.2 minutes of the annual grants assessment panel meeting. This report is confidential in accordance with S89 2H as it relates to any other matter which the council or special committee considers would prejudice the council of any person. And 19.3, Melton Waves Leisure Centre 2016/17 service delivery plan. And again, this report is confidential in accordance with S89D as it relates to the two contractual matters. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. Do I have a councillor who requires any further clarification in regards to this item, procedural motion? Do I have a councillor to second it?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the procedural motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, members of the gallery. Thank you for attending this meeting of council. Please help yourself to some refreshments and please take care on the roads on your way home. Thank you and take care.